Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Rosenbloom.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake. Come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know. You know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Welcome in. This is Saturday Suckage, and the White Sox are right here for you. Steve Rosenbloom, Mark Grody, we're broadcasting live from Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And Mark, I would just advise the White Sox to recall the advice of baseball savant Dean Wormer. Fat or bad, gutless, and stupid is no way to go through a pennant race. How are you, Mark? That is just all kinds of crap. Yeah, you're better than the White Sox, aren't you?
Well, there's a couple things here. One thing we know still, no matter how fashionable bat flips are and accepting they are and how much people are shamed
these drunk
days,
and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Right.
That's right.
See?
People are shamed if you don't like bat flips. And it's usually the older generation that doesn't like them. But what we know, Steve, what we know still, and what was confirmed yesterday, that pitchers still hate bat flips. And pitchers are old school, even though they are, on average, about 26 years old. Pitchers hate bat flips. Jimmy Cordero doing his guy a solid, Dylan Cease, by throwing at Wilson Contreras. It was stupid, but we do know that pitchers hate bat flips, so it's not for everybody.
Do you think Ricky ordered the code red?
I think Ricky allowed the code red to occur, I would say.
See, nobody believed Cordero. Nobody believed Cordero. Did you believe Cordero? Did you believe Renteria? Did you believe either of them when they denied all this?
No. Come on.
So that's
they have to deny it because you don't. I mean, everybody, they know that everybody knows they did it, but you have to go through the charade, and this is the way it's always done. You can't just say you threw at the guy until you're 10 years out of the league. Then you could talk about those things. It's like when, you know, you're growing up and you do stupid things that your parents don't know about. There's a 10-year rule. You got to wait 10 years to tell your parents about it. Then it's funny, and then it's cute. And yeah, exactly. Remember that one night? I was drunk that one night. Right. So that's the way it works. These guys don't talk about those real things. They have to go through the charade. And there's no reason to get mad at Jimmy Cordero for lying because we all know that he's lying. He knows that we know he's lying.
Liar,
it's all good.
Liar, plants for hire.
He knows that we know that he knows that there's a lie going on here. So it's just all part of the charade that goes on when there is this sort of situation.
It's like gutless. And the whole idea that it's old school, tough guys, you never played the game. You don't know what it's like. You're right. I never played the game. But I know that throwing a 98-mile-an-hour object weapon at somebody who's defenseless is as gutless as it gets, as stupid as it gets. And if you're just such a tough guy about that, just admit you did it, okay? Mr. Tough Guy, I did this. I threw it at him. So you've got all of this bad. They've lost six in a row. They've gone from first place to the second wild card. This is you've plummeted so quickly. They're still in the playoffs, and I guess you would have taken that, as Rick Hahn said earlier on Inside the Clubhouse, you would have taken that at the beginning of the year. How they got there is just particularly ugly. We're at a point today where Dane Dunning will take the mound, and the White Sox could get a no-hitter out of Dane Dunning, and he could still lose the game or at least leave with no decision. That's where the White Sox are. And what makes yesterday so maddening is best expressed by, you know, arguably the greatest White Sox player ever, Frank Thomas, on NBC Sports Chicago, with Ozzie Guillen alternately curled up in the fetal position, or you expect him to start wielding weapons. Anyways, here's Frank after the White Sox lost 10-0 on their own field for the sixth straight time in the last weekend of the regular season.
After what happened in Cleveland to this team, to come home to your own ballpark and play like you played tonight is absolutely embarrassing. I mean, this organization got way more pride than that. You're playing the Cubs. If you can't get up for the north side, something's wrong internally inside that clubhouse. It's got to be fixed, but be fixed in a hurry, because tonight was absolutely embarrassing. And I'm telling you right now, so many people around this city right now is just fired up and losing their mind. And they're lucky the fans are not in the ballpark right now, because I can tell you right now how uncomfortable it would be to play in this ballpark this particular time right now.
Okay, Dick so Duran!
That's exactly right. That's as angry as you could see Frank. Frank just
good for really... Frank. I love that. I love that Frank
cares. There
should
cares. Be more of that.
I mean, this is a first ballot Hall of Famer who kind of came across as aloof a lot of his career. I was so I watched that live, and I was like, somebody say something, because Chuck's not saying anything. Ozzie's not saying anything. They're all just kind of goofing on it and saying, what do we say here? I don't know what to say.
What
this is really
yeah,
and then
suck.
Right. Right, right. And then Frank just took over, and Sox fans needed that. I'm like, somebody say, Frank, thank you.
And the point about the fans not being in the ballpark is huge. That was, he said, drop that in at the end. That's huge, because you're a team that has been a bright spot for most of the season. You've been interesting. You've been, and especially, by the way, let me correct myself. The Sox have plummeted to the first wild card. Not the second wild card, as I said. Anyways, the Sox have been such a fun story, and now they're being exposed in a lot of ways. You kept asking, are they good? In this, it hasn't just been a truncated season. It has been the kind of season where you're not allowed to play outside your playground. You have to color inside the lines here. It's all central all the time. So when they've played, I mean, you don't know who's good. They beat the Cubs. Well, the Cubs are good. No, the Cubs weren't good at that time. Well, the Indians proved to be good, and the Sox can't beat them. Now the Sox are behind the Indians and the Twins. Who's good, you don't know, and now they may face it. But they've been an interesting team, and they've been built on let's change the game and Tim Anderson's bat flips, and then they go all stupid, and they look like the biggest hypocrites. And they look like whining little bitches about what went on with how dare Wilson Contreras fling the bat to the top deck, the upper deck. And, well, your guy did it. Your guy made an ad campaign out of it. Get him out next time. And, by the way, for the Cubs, this isn't all White Sox bad. I want to point this out, because Contreras' home run, like several others, they went the opposite field. Schwarber,
yeah,
Baez, and Wilson Contreras, and everyone has said, and Ron Coomer has said it on this station when he's guested with I remember with Mully and Haw. You start going the opposite way, you start getting your swing back and your timing back, and now they're hitting home runs and they went to the opposite field. That is the best sign that came out of last night's Cubs game.
Absolutely. That was the Joe Maddon way. That's what Joe Maddon obsessed over. Every single time the Cubs were in a slump, he said, like, I need that center field, right field approach. I think some of that probably did wear off on David Ross, but you don't hear him throwing that out there as much as Joe Maddon did. So Maddon would be proud of the way it went. Yeah, I think Baez was the only home run last night that was pulled for Baez, who needed that. Back to it's interesting, the psychology of what happened last night with Jimmy Cordero, because White Sox fans to some degree cornered themselves on this one because they drank and accepted over the last 2 years, even those who were old school fans begrudgingly said, okay, I've come around on this bat flip stuff. I'm cool with it. This is fun. That's my team. They're winning. I'm accepting new ways. And now, and last night had to be excruciating because even the youngest of fans, the newest of school fans, probably just in their gut, hated seeing Wilson Contreras, A, hit the home run, and then B, rub it in the White Sox faces with that immaculate bat flip. And this is one time where they had to just kind of ground themselves and say, okay, take a deep breath. This is what we've been preaching for our team. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. This is on the Sox. And good on White Sox fans for the most part, from what I saw on Twitter. I didn't see a lot of White Sox fans angry at Wilson Contreras. For the most part, they were mad at Jimmy Cordero and what was going on with the White Sox. But that had to be one of those moments that tested the new school patience of a lot of White Sox fans who, again, like I said, were either shamed into accepting the bat flip or begrudgingly did it or just said, okay, this team is winning. This team is cool. I'm down with a bat flip. But I'll bet you in their guts at that moment they were not into the bat flip at all, and they probably wanted to crush Wilson Contreras just like Jimmy Cordero did.
I don't know. I can understand being mad and going all nuts on the whole thing and then snapping out of it and go playing Fortnite because it's more interesting than watching this bad, gutless, and desperate team. And what I think we're seeing is a group dynamic of choking, based on inexperienced. You start with a manager. I think he's either been kicked out three times in the last five games trying to light a fire, or he's been kicked out five times in the last three games. I can't figure out which, but none of it has worked. And he's never had to manage games that matter. And earlier in the week when everybody was looking, he decided Carlos Rodon was the answer in a high-leverage situation, which he hasn't faced in 5 years or whatever, instead of Aaron Bummer, the actual guy who's coming back, who you knew needed the work in high-leverage situations, who you might actually use in high-leverage situations, and not act like it's a spring training game. And of all the things you've seen Ricky Renteria do, that proves to me managers can easily lose more games then they can win. That's where managers really matter, when they stay out of the way of the game. And he completely mismanaged the bullpen, and that scares everybody because they've never seen him manage successfully in any kind of high leverage situation. He's not done it, and look what's happening this week. And then you look at the players. Inexperience in the last week of a season, playoff positioning, capturing first place, living up to all the good things people said about you, changed the game. It was real easy to play loose when it was early in the year. And now when, you know, sphincters tighten, you can't score a run in your own park after an embarrassing road trip. And that's the way it seems to me that the Sox are experiencing this and can only hope that it turns into something positive next month or next year.
Hey, man, I'm all about the Ricky age and that moment that occurred and Carlos Rodon coming in. But you're telling me, and there was a weird defensive mechanism that Ricky Renteria used in his post-game Zoom where a couple times he said disingenuously, you could tell, where he said, if you want to blame me, go ahead and blame me. If you want to blame me, go ahead and blame me. It was that, like, that angry defensive mode, you know, blame me, I don't care. Right. The whole world, you know, blame me for everything.
Aggressive. Yeah, passive aggressive.
That's what it was. It was so disingenuous. He may as well not have said it because it made him look worse. However, you're telling me that that before this game there wasn't a plan laid out from the general manager Rick Hahn? He had to have signed off on something like that. I don't know if it was, we want to give Aaron Bummer a clean inning. We want to see what Carlos Rodon could do, because if we're going to use Carlos Rodon another time this year, it's going to be in the postseason. It's going to be at high leverage. I don't believe that was not Rick Hahn huddling up with his manager and saying, yeah, here's one of the possible plans that we'd like to see play out. There's no way that Ricky Renteria is acting alone in this case. And I don't know, wasn't Rick Hahn in Zoom today? Didn't he already do a Zoom, or was it last night? Because I saw some quotes coming out about the hit by pitch. Did anybody ask him about Ricky Renteria, and if that was him, if he acted alone, or if that was the blueprint plan? And I don't have a problem.
There was a second shooter.
Yeah, exactly. Look, this is the way it works these days.
We do have audio of him talking about that, if you want to hear it.
All right, we'll have to play it later. I know we have to take a break, and we will continue to debate where Rick Hahn, if he's part of this group choke.
It's got to be.
They're all the way down. It's well, that's just bad thinking, then, if that's the way they wanted to do it.
And
we'll discuss that later. We need to take a break because we need to tell you what's going on in the rest of the show. And after our break, we'll talk with Cam Ellis of NBC Sports Chicago. We'll talk some Bears. Mark Grody covers the Bears. Mark Grody knows Cam Ellis. We can talk some Bears and see what's going to happen in Atlanta tomorrow. And by the way, the Bears, they're very much the White Sox. They have a winning record. They've played bad teams. You have no idea how good they are. But if you're playing a bad team, you should expect them to win. I expect them to win tomorrow. They're playing a bad team. The Bears are the White Sox right now until proven otherwise. We'll talk to Cam Ellis about that. And later on at 12:20, we'll talk with Evan Altman about the Cubs. 10-0, bat flip. We'll see if Wilson Contreras' bat has come down yet. Evan would know about that, and he'd have metrics on the spin rate of the bat. And 1 p.m., we'll talk with Josh Nelson of Sox Machine. We'll see if he has any teeth left from grinding them. And we've been trying to check in with Lawrence Holmes. I don't know if Loho... We need a wellness check, so we'll see how he's doing. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. This is Saturday Suckage, so of course we're talking about the Sox. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Team is different. Everyone has their own needs, and everyone has their own flavors. There's vanilla and chocolate ice cream. Everybody likes different people, players for different reasons.
That Matt Nagy fight is just the tip of the ice cream cone, as it turns out. The most important news that surfaced yesterday comes from our next guest. Here's the tweet. Matt Nagy's go-to ice cream combo is vanilla, chocolate, coffee, mint chocolate chip. This is actually true. I am reporting the news to you. That comes from Cam Ellis, our guest on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park.
Cam Ellis of NBC Sports Chicago joins us on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And thank you for that ahem scoop, Cam. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. It's a little disorienting to be to have hear my team's red back to me, but I'm glad I can be of some help to you guys.
And can you tell the coach that he needs to be fired for putting coffee, ice cream, anywhere? Coffee belongs in coffee. It does not belong on ice cream. It does not belong in a barbecue rub. It does not belong in a mole sauce. Get coffee out of everything except coffee. Can you tell him that there'll be people with torches and pitchforks at Halas Hall if he doesn't change his choices?
I'll do my best. I will say I do generally agree with that. I'm always kind of a weird ice cream combo, but hey, you know, I'm not one to knock other people's ice cream flavors. But that being said, I will knock his. It's weird.
Yes, it is. All right, so you made a bold prediction, and you think of all the way things have gone in the last 2 weeks. They're playing the run-happy Bears are now playing the pass-crappy Falcons, and you have Allen Robinson making it all. You're predicting he's going to make everything better with two touchdowns tomorrow. So that's the prediction. Splain, Lucy.
So I just think that Allen Robinson's too good of a player to have three straight games of pretty poor production. And I think that the Lions and, to an extent, the Giants secondary, while not world beaters, are competent enough. I'm not sure you can say the same about the Falcons right now. I think this may be the worst secondary they've played so far. And I think there's going to be some renewed focus on getting A-Rob the ball again. He was just sort of, I mean, between being quiet and the interception on Sunday, that was probably about as rough a game as Allen Robinson had with the Bears. So this just seems like a perfect spot for a bounce-back game from him. That being said, all my bold predictions are never right, so don't hold on to that too tightly. But it does look right now like could be a good spot for him to go off.
Hey, just stay bold, man. As long as they're bold, then you will always have that, even if they are wrong. All we're asking is for bold predictions. And, Cam, I got to tell you, man, this is the first time in 2 years plus, and maybe further back, but I'm just going as long as I have been around the team every day. This is the first time going into a game that I can remember that I'm actually more concerned about the Bears' defense in a game as opposed to the Bears' offense. Am I right to have that concern?
I get what you're saying. I still look at the players on the defensive side and go, they're so good that I'm not going to be too concerned. But I do get what you're saying because the Falcons' offense is so good, and it's just at a different level than what the Bears have seen. And the Bears have shown through two games to give up a lot of yardage. So at some point you sort of figured that, you know, the DeAndre Swifts of the world aren't going to drop touchdowns in the final minute and the Bears are going to get scored on at some point. So I get what you're saying. Yeah, I would be concerned. You still like a defense, you know, with all the all-pro talent they have to match up with an all-pro talent offense like the Falcons, but I sort of think this game is going to be in the high 20s, low 30s for both teams.
We're talking with Cam Ellis, NBC Sports Chicago. He writes about the Bears along with J.J. Stankovitz, and as long as we're talking Bears defense and bold predictions that never come true, he's got Eddie Jackson being part of a defense that's going to score twice tomorrow. Splain, Lucy.
So I really just wanted to get as long as I could right off the bat so I get clear of all this. I just think that you look at Eddie Jackson's turnovers historically, they come in bunches. And I think he's just due, and that's sort of the way you think someone is about to hit a home run is due, and then, you know, they just pop out in foul territory over by the third base side. But after the Giants game, when he probably, you know, he had the one actual touchdown called back, and then if Deion Bush pitches it back, that's a second touchdown. I just think it's going to happen. It's just a gut feeling that after two, he could have easily got against the Giants, the Falcons are going to air the ball out. They're going to try and test it downfield. I just think there's going to be a play to be made there. And Eddie Jackson, I thought it was sort of funny him explaining how simple it was to get into the end zone. It's like, yeah, I'm Eddie Jackson. Like, I know you think that. You are an all-pro at that. Like, everyone else, no wonder Deion Bush couldn't see the field. Like, he's not Eddie Jackson. So I think there is going to be sort of in the same vein as Allen Robinson. There's going to be chances for him. I think Eddie Jackson is going to have at least one or two chances on Sunday.
I think this game, too, Cam, is going to really be a huge test on the new approach from Matt Nagy, and that has been finally in earnest. He has found a running game. At least through two games, it has looked good. You have a situation, though, in this game where the Atlanta secondary is wretched, and you're calling for a big game from Allen Robinson. Do you think that this is the game where he, I was going to say reverts back to passing, but do you think this is a game where he should revert to opening up the passing game and to some degree abandoning the run game, which has looked so nifty through the first 2 weeks?
So I'll hedge here and say no and yes. And what I mean by that is, no, I don't think they should try and, you know, run a spread, you know, option. Do be the Chiefs, like, or try and be in the 2019 Bears, whoever you want to look at it. I do think that they should take more shots down the field. You know, it's sort of they've figured out a way to run the ball effectively and then complement that with passing, but they haven't quite figured out how to complement that with taking shots down the field. So I want to see them roll the dice a little more, whether that's Darnell Mooney, whether that's Allen Robinson. I just want to see, there were a couple of plays in the Giants games where I thought, man, you know, they're pulling the Giants all to one side on these play actions. If they just did a play action, or excuse me, pulling the Giants on these runs, if they pulled a play action and booted it, Mitch out to the other side, there was some space there to make plays. So I want to see them try and establish the run like they have in the first two games and keep the defense honest, but then instead of, you know, 12-yard passes across the middle to Allen Robinson, I want to see him sort of take a shot, test the secondary, test the corners, test the safeties, because I think you're going to need to be a little less conservative against the Falcons than you are in, say, the Giants or the Lions.
You know what this also is, Cam? This is the game where you take a shot downfield with Darnell Mooney, because Mooney's been great, yeah, but we haven't seen the go route from him. I think this is where you do that, too.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think Mooney's kind of earned that, but them talking about, you know, it was Darnell Mooney pass blocking week at Hallis Hall, where I feel like every day we just talked about how good he is at pass blocking, which is, you know, old-timey football way of earning your stripes. You got to pass block first. It doesn't matter what else you can do. Just got to pass block. So I think that – I do think that you're right. If you want to see them just try and chuck it 40 yards down the field and see if he comes up with it, because it's been such a lacking part of an offense that I think is sort of functioning far better than it did in either of the two Nagy years. They're just not – you know, they're not scoring, and that is ultimately the end goal. So I get what people are saying, well, it's not a good offense because they're not scoring. That's true, but I think they're moving the ball better. I think they're putting drives together. I think the play scripts are smarter. It just hasn't translated yet. And so I think that some of maybe it taking the shots down the field might help it translate. But then again, you know, maybe they just come out and score 14 points again, because that's sort of been the theme of the last 2 years. So it's hard to tell, but you like the idea of it at least.
Our guest is Cam Ellis, NBC Sports Chicago. We're talking about the Bears here on The Score, Steve Rosenblum and Mark Grody. Now, the interesting thing about that point, Mark, and that one, I want that to be the first play in the script, is the go route from Darnell Mooney out of play action. This is the first time in Matt Nagy's Bears existence that he could open a game with play action and not be laughed at, because the Bears have actually established a running game, a running reputation. It would seem to be their go-to play. We're going to soften you up, then we're going to just see what happens. They could open with play action, they could take a shot deep, and they could strike immediately based on whatever kind of come to Jesus moment Matt Nagy had about the run game. And that's the remarkable turn, that's a remarkable ability Matt Nagy has given himself in using the playbook. So I think that this game presents an opportunity to see whether Matt Nagy can actually coach the game in front of him. What do you think, Cam? I think there's a perfect setup for him being able to coach what is happening with his own team, the other team, the game in front of him, and be able to do something about it because he actually has the weapons instead of a mono view of here's my nifty, pretty, shiny place.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think the knack on Nagy for the last 2 years has been a sort of a stiff, rigid approach to game planning, even when things aren't exactly going to the game plan. And I think that he deserves a lot of credit for switching the offense because that sort of seems to be what's in vogue across the NFL. I mean, you look at the Ravens, you look at the Jaguars, you look at other teams, and they're sort of abandoning the idea that coach knows best, and it's more of a, hey, let's tailor this around what our players do well. And for the Bears, that's always been, you know, running the football and having sort of mitigating the Mitch Trubisky mistakes and having him sort of complement a functioning running game. So I think he deserves credit for that. But now I want to see, like you were hinting at, is making in-season adjustments. Maybe that means throwing the ball 45 times. Maybe, who knows, maybe that means running the ball 7 times as much as Chicago would think. You know, but I want to see, you're right, I want to see more of a tailor to individual defenses, which I think Nagy has the ability to do. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I feel like Bears fans, all offseason, they said, we just want a defense and a quarterback that can, you know, get it done. He doesn't need to be fantastic, but let's get it done, and now we'll win games. And so far, that's happened exactly as Bears fans have wanted, and all of a sudden, it's not good enough for a lot of people, which I think is so funny. I think that you'll see Nagy air it out. I just think the secondary in Atlanta is just too porous to not try and take a shot early, knowing that the run game is there when you need it to. But if you're not going to air it out against the secondary, who are you going to air it out against?
Yeah, I mean, their rookie cornerback is not as good as the Bears' rookie cornerback this year. They have A.J. Terrell, the kid out of Clemson, and obviously Jalen Johnson has put on a show for the Bears so far this year. Do you think that what he's done through the first couple of games is sustainable? Do you think that this is who Jalen Johnson is? I guess we don't know who he is yet, but what do you think about Jalen Johnson so far?
I have been so impressed with Jalen Johnson. It's funny. I feel like a week before the game, the Lions game, we were all talking about how he wasn't going to play and that he was just getting nursed along slowly because of his shoulder. And then in like 2 days, he was just the starting corner and now is like maybe the best corner on the team. So I'm very impressed. I do think it's sustainable. You know, I think he's going to get burned at one point just because wide receivers are really good and NFL wide receivers are really good, and even good corners have bad games. So the idea that he's going to be a true shutdown every single game in his rookie year, I'm not sold on that. I'd be a little worried about the Packers games if I was Jalen Johnson and the Bears defense, but I think this is pretty sustainable. He seems to be really good. He was drafted with the idea that he'd be a plug and play guy. You know, he was sort of given a mid, late first-round grade, but then the shoulder stuff made him drop. So I think he's sort of living up to the reputation he has rightfully earned, but I do sort of also think that at some point he's going to get torched.
Cam, we appreciate you joining us. The Bears are playing a team, scored 39 points, had zero turnovers, and lost. Before the Falcons did it, teams were 440-0 when scoring 39 points with zero turnovers since 1933. That's when first team turnovers were first tracked. That's according to Elias. So if they can't beat this team, then just don't come home. And if they do come home with a victory, then we'll continue talking with you because you must be the good luck charm. So thanks for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
And we'll listen for more scoops on scoops. And tell them to get the coffee out of there. There's no reason for coffee ice cream ruining everything.
To that end, there's a text here that says, Rosie, write on about coffee anywhere but a cup. And it says it's from Barry Kaufman. Is that Dr. Barry Kaufman of WBBM fame?
I believe that is Dr. Barry Kaufman. Yes,
That's awesome. I love Barry Kaufman.
And he would know. He's coffee is coffee, period. And keep your pumpkin spice. You know what? You know what's really angering? And Cam would certainly be aware of this, given that he's an ice cream, the investigative ice cream reporter. The fact that it's still summer, it's 70 degrees out, it's hotter than that, and we're doing pumpkin spice stuff, and there's gourds out all over, and I think that it's a reprehensible part of society. We're collapsing as a society, that we're not even into October, and we're seeing gourds out, and this pumpkin spice stuff, which Starbucks started, I think, in August. This really needs to stop. Everybody, just stop. Don't harsh my summer.
The dirty little secret about pumpkin spice and pumpkin flavors is they're not that good. I mean, and maybe it's just a mood that our bodies get into in the Midwest, that we suddenly need pumpkin flavor when it starts to get slightly cooler out, like our bodies are more fit for pumpkin tint. I don't get the whole pumpkin craze. I don't, and I'm glad it only, you know, it's like the McRib. I guess it's not good enough to be, or is the McRib around 24/7 now? I don't even know. Is it?
Cam, your turn to vote on pumpkin spice, and all things unfit for summer weather.
So I'm not a pumpkin spice person. I'm not a pumpkin person. I will say, though, I am an ice cream year-round person. So, like, I'll walk to Dairy Queen in mid-January and get a blizzard. Like, happily so. I will take ice cream any day of the year, regardless of temperature.
Cam, you missed the chance for cloying wordplay to say, I'll walk to Dairy Queen in a blizzard to get a blizzard.
Yeah. I should have had more pumpkin spice coffee, and maybe I'd be on the ball with the wordplay.
Yeah,
but,
there you go. Now he's got it. Bum bum bum. Thanks, yeah. Cam.
Wait, where are we on Shamrock Shakes while we're doing that? Are we all like Shamrock Shakes?
I'm out on Shamrock Shakes too.
No, okay. I like mint. So I'm good with
one
mint.
One for three, I guess.
All right. We'll check in on more of the reluctant food critic later. Cam, thanks.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right. Cam Ellis, NBC Sports Chicago. So this is such, once we get done here, this is such a day, such a weekend. It's such wonderful sportsiness on the score. The Cubs take on the White Sox all weekend long on the score right here, this very radio station that you're getting in your ears. The Wintrust Crosstown Series is presented by Xfinity. Xfinity X-Fi delivers blazing fast Wi-Fi with no curveballs. And we have Bears programming this Sunday. Sunday, pregame, 9 a.m. till noon. Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, Olin Krutz. They will be the Bet Rivers pregame show presented by Mayo Medical. Then the Prop Swap post-game show. I didn't stutter. It's exactly that. The post-game show will be presented by PNC Bank with Olin Krutz and Anthony Herron.
Oh, I love that show.
After the Cubs post-game. So there you go. And Mark Rohde will be a part of all of it, because that's what Mark Rohde does for us, because he's a giver, not a taker.
Yeah, but I think I might owe an apology, because I'm on the verge of getting canceled here. And that is from the 847, 33-year-old male here. Shut your mouth with your pumpkin spice hate speech. I am sorry. I don't want to hate speech on anybody. So, yeah.
Wow.
But enough with the pumpkin spice.
I got to say, guys, I agree. The pumpkin spice thing is overrated.
Oh, completely.
It's just, I don't understand the love for it. I feel like it lacks flavor, considering the hype that it gets. Like, I'm much more in on the stuff that we get around winter. Like, that stuff's great.
And, well, it's all peppermint, right?
There's more flavor.
Guy.
At least you're getting more flavor with that. Pumpkin spice is dull. I said it. Move on.
It's not. There are several things that I will eat. There are pumpkin spice. Trader Joe's has an item out. The pumpkin spice smashed pretzels. And those are excellent. And then they have pumpkin madeleines that are just delicious. But other things I will largely agree with you. The idea of, like, I don't know, pumpkin spice nuts, walnuts, almonds, whatever. No, don't do that to me. But I love pumpkin pie. I will eat pumpkin ice cream in certain small doses. But I have found certain uses for pumpkin spice. This is certainly riveting stuff. Yeah.
Well, and pumpkin pie has to have lots of cool whip on it. So that's the only thing I would
say.
Yeah. Whip. Yeah, cool. Did you say cool whip?
Yes,
whip. I did say cool whip. So, yeah, but anyway, we got to take a break here, Stevie Sunshine. What's up? What's coming up, buddy?
We do. Well, you know what? I think we Wilson Contreras had something to say. They plunked Wilson Contreras by the gutless White Sox. So we'll hear what Wilson Contreras has to say after this. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. Thank you for listening to Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You put Cool Whip on pie. Pie tastes better with Cool Whip. Say whip. Whip. Now say Cool Whip. Cool Whip.
Jimmy's got a strong thinker. I didn't need him to you know, do what that the ball got away from him. It was just simply a sinker. He's pitching him in. The ball ran away. We were limited on what we were going to do. I mean, we put Sanchez out there, for goodness sakes. It wasn't something that was expected. Obviously, we couldn't convince. It was already done. The ejection was done. We couldn't, you know, convince him. I know I was a little livid, and because we're sure of what we were at and, you know, how we viewed it. And but understandably, the umpires have the judgment on that, and they did what they did.
That is Ricky Renteria, manager of BS for the White Sox, talking about Jimmy Cordero's 98-mile-an-hour fastball that drilled Wilson Contreras in the back on the side, drilled him directly, and said, oh, no, we didn't mean to throw at him after he hit that epic home run and an even more epic bat flip that reached the upper deck. I mean, it was in the same shot. It was in the same camera shot as the arc of the home run. So he got good hang time on that bat flip. And then he got hit. So Wilson Contreras hits the defining home run of the game. Went from 1-0 to 4-0, 3-run homer, right center. Everybody's getting right by going the opposite way. And then he gets drilled in a game. The Sox are getting wiped out and pitcher gets thrown out, manager gets thrown out, pitching coach gets thrown out. They all say it slipped, which is just crap. You're going to be a tough guy and throw a 98-mile-an-hour weapon at somebody, then just be a tough guy and own up to it. Yeah, I threw at him.
In the words of the great Ralph Kramden, he knows that we know that he threw the – I mean, he's lying, and he knows we know he's lying, and it's just the whole charade that they have to play, that every batter, every pitcher has ever played in the history of did you do it on purpose, that will not be admitted until at least 10 years after he is retired. So that's just the way – unfortunately, you're right. It's a bold-faced lie, but unfortunately, that's just the way the game is played.
Yes, and so here's Wilson Contreras, the HBP in question on getting hit.
Well, I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming because I'm going to say it because I think the field disrespected, which what I did, I have nothing wrong with it. I celebrated with my teammates, and I got pumped up. I wear my emotions below my sleeve, and that was one thing that I did. I have no regrets, zero regrets, and once they hit me, I don't think that was the smartest thing to do because obviously he got thrown out. Probably who knows if he gets suspended. And I just didn't want to argue anything or to say anything because I know that if I start something like fight, I might get suspended, and that's something that I don't want. I was smarter than what I did, and I took my hit by pitch. It was already over. But I'm gonna say like I'm gonna keep playing the way I play. I'm not gonna change anything. I play hard for my team, and I always wanna do the best for my team. But if they don't like me, that's fine. I don't play for other teams to like me anyway. And if I have to do it again, I would do it again.
There you go. It's just like Tim Anderson. So, and Rick Hahn, White Sox GM, was on Inside the Clubhouse earlier and said basically the same thing. You don't want a guy to showboat, then get him out. That's just the way it goes. So we have to take a break. We are going to make a wellness check. We'll continue the Sox talk after this break. We have to make a wellness check on somebody, and we'll bring that to you at the top of the hour. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. This is Saturday Suckage. Thank you for listening. So we can suck so you don't have to. We're pleasers, not teasers. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.